You're listening to Closing the Gaps Conversations, and today we had the pleasure of having a yarn around the table with Elvis Carter, a Nurrungerry man. So many people who said, I needed to yarn to this fella and what a story he has. Tune in and listen to his story about how we got into college football and how we went from Bungerong, Doveton where he grew up, all the way to Missouri. All right, Elvis, want to just tell us about who you are, like as an Aboriginal man, and where you come from?
Oh, so my name's Elvis. I'm a Nurrungerry man from South Australia. I was born in South Australia. My mum and stuff, all my family's from South Australia. But my mum moved when I was young, so I moved here when I was born. I was born there and I moved here and lived in Dandenong all my life, so yeah.
Nice. So you're part of the Bungerong community?
Yeah, I've always been heavily influenced about them, yeah. Played with the Bungerong team for my whole basketball and carnival career, so yeah, pretty close with all of them, and then yeah.
Nice. So how did you get into gridiron?
I don't know, I always just loved it, playing, just watching it on TV, waking up at 5 o'clock in the morning and just watching it. And then one day I was on the river and then some guy just approached me and then he's like, oh, you're a pretty big fella, you should come play American football. And I didn't know who he was. And he was the president of a local football club around here. And then he's like, if you don't like to come, if you don't like it, then don't come. If you do, you do come. And ever since then, my first training session and never looked back.
How'd you go on your first training session?
Oh, scary ass, because like, I think I was 16 at the time and I was playing Division 1 men, like the highest men's grade, and I was like, second best team in the state. I didn't know who they were, and like, it was so nerve-wracking. I still remember my first game. It was scary ass in Geelong. The whole car ride to Geelong was quiet. I was trying to get away and didn't know what I was doing, and I was like, yeah, it was so nerve-wracking, but I liked it at the same time. It was like a kid playing Madden.
Yeah. How'd you go?
Oh, we smashed it. It was like 40-0. Like, yeah, it was a good game. Like, yeah. I played for Monash Warriors. I've been in the Monash area.
What sports have you played growing up?
Oh, I've always played basketball, then I played rugby when I was in school, played footy at school. I did athletics because I was big and I just did shot put and discus. But yeah, I played everything like I could play pretty much. But this is the only sport I really took seriously, like, yeah, ever since I found it, and yeah.
So that man that discovered you, is he still in your life in any way?
Yeah, I still play for him, like, we still keep in touch and everything, yeah. Like, he's such a good guy, like, he's just a random-ass guy, like, he just came up to me.
What's his name?
His name's Alan, yeah, Alan. He came up to me, he's like, you're a pretty big fella. Like, I was 16, like, I didn't know who he was, he's just like, cut that mama club, like, I know you live around, like, my area, so, yeah.
How tall were you when you were 16?
I think I was about 6'3" when I started playing.
Yeah, and you're 6'7".
Yeah, 6'7" now, yeah, so, yeah, I kind of grew. And then he kept on smiling, because when I grew, he's like, yes. No.
What's it like when you start here? Like, how many teams are there in Melbourne? How does it sort of, from that first game that you played?
Yeah.
What was the next few steps to happen?
So I played my first season in 2019. I think we had about 10 men's team, but we barely had any 19s team, because I was going to play 19s and I was only 16 at the time. But my team didn't have a 19s team, so yeah, it was about 10 teams. And like, it was really big. I didn't know it was really big. Like, you have to know people to get into it. Like, but then now they're trying to like approach everyone and just see if you like to play football. But it's a lot of commitment too, so that's why like no one really likes to play it.
What's the commitment?
Oh, like when I started playing, it was like 2 times of training, that's it. Now I'm training like 5 to 6 times a week, recovery, then like learning plays and everything. So it takes your whole life, like my whole life. Like when I played for Victoria, like, man, that coach was like training 3 times a week in Maribyrnong, and then had to learn the playbook, then I had to go to classes to study the playbook. And it was like a big experience for me like that.
Is there any other black fellas playing football?
Not to my knowledge, no. Yeah, like he's always encouraging my guy, like bring everyone down, you know. Like he loves Aboriginal people, so yeah, he just like always tells me to bring my cousins down and stuff. Trying to get everyone to play, yeah.
Yeah.
How difficult, obviously, trying to get there from in Australia, it'd be so much harder to get there than being over there, I'd assume. So it'd kind of be like if you who you know. And
Yeah, most definitely. So I played my first season and like we went into the grand finals and we lost. And then like every team in Victoria approached me to play for them and then like everyone was just messaging me, coaches, like, you know, like, then I got invited to Vic trials and then like the Vic coach knew who I was. I didn't know anybody there, like my Vic trials, I had no one. I walked in, like, no one knew who I was, but then the coaches knew who I was. Kids are shaking people's hands and then I shake the right person's hand. His name was Matt Wade. He's like from like, his name's Green Room Futures. So he sends kids to study abroad and stuff. That's his whole company. And like, he's pretty cool at what he does. Like, he made me like, he's like, Dory, just keep playing football and just keep doing everything and I'll make everything work. And then he comes back later, like 6 months later, he's like, you got 5 college offers and you just have to pick one. He's like, I would have got more, but it's just, you have no film. And then he's like, keep going. And then once you get everything and get film, you'll be approached by heaps of colleges. So like, yeah, if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be in this position.
What are the other clubs that, or colleges that, interested in you?
I can't discuss that. It's just like conversations. No.
Why did you pick then?
Oh, because the coach, he said because he has a good relationship with that college. And yeah, he says, like, I have a really good relationship. They'll look after you, you know. This is a good place to develop as a player. And, like, this is a state you want to be in to play football. It's, like, 4 years so you can develop as a player and just get better and better. He's like, yeah. Because he's been sending kids over there since, like, 15 years, so he really knows what he's talking about. So, yeah, I'll just take his advice.
So what team are you playing
for? Missouri Valley Vikings. I've been Missouri.
How are you feeling about you heading off in a couple of days?
I feel like a little kid. Like, you know, this has like always been a dream of mine since I was a little kid. First it was basketball, then I grew. It was like, yeah, you're going to play football. So yeah, it's like a dream coming true. Like when I played my first game and then I played my first Victorian game, like it's just been a dream that's just coming true. Like, you know, I always smile just thinking about it because it's like, yeah, I'm living out my dream and stuff.
Are you scared?
No, really. I'm just excited just to get over it and just see what they have for me.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And were you saying it's going to be your first time on a plane?
Yeah, first time everything, yeah.
It's scarier than...
Yeah, no.
How many hours is a plane ride?
I think it's like 16 hours to LA, then another 6 hours to Charlotte, and then another hour from Charlotte to Kansas. And then I got like another 2 hour drive ahead of me from there.
You're like a proper superstar. So, we're just saying, like, you have to fundraise to get there. How's it been going?
No, it's been going really good. You know, people donating whatever they can and stuff. And, like, me saving, like, when I worked, like, all I did was save, like, half my paycheck. And, like, yeah, I never knew how to save before, so, like, it was really weird me saving, like, having spare money and stuff. Yeah, but, yeah.
So what do you do?
I used to work at City of Casey with Aboriginal Youth Engagement Trainee and working with the young Aboriginal kids up in Dufton, Dandenong area, City of Casey area. So, yeah, just developing programs and seeing what they need and like how we can help and stuff.
And then did you do that on the weekends as well?
Oh, no, it was 9 to 5, like Monday to Friday. And then, like, the weekends, like, I was trying to help out, like, just do anything. Like, you know, anybody had a spare job, I'll be there, like, moving houses and stuff, you know, like, simple stuff, trying to make extra money.
Yeah.
But then I had to keep football into the thing, so I was like, I don't know what sleep was.
What is it that you love about gridiron?
What I love about it? I don't know, just, like, it's a team sport, you know, you can have, like, the one best player, but you have to have everyone on the same page in order to win. And, like, I think I realised that when I started playing higher levels, it's like, If you don't play as a team, you're not a good team. So, like, yeah. And the coaches, like, always have, like, knowing what you're going to do and stuff. And, like, if you do your job right, then you're going to win the game. But it's just, I don't know, it's bigger than me. So, like, you know, I do my job and then everyone else does their job and we become better as a person.
What's your job in the gridiron team?
Yeah, I protect the quarterback. So I used to attack the quarterback, but now I protect him. And, like, yeah, I'm his insurance. So make sure he doesn't get tackled, so yeah. Yeah, so I'm the big guy that just protects him and makes sure he doesn't get hit and just, yeah.
So is there any other Aussies that are going to be on your team?
There is one other Australian, he's from Sydney. Yep. I'm pretty sure, like, we message each other because we're the same thing.
Yep.
And then, yeah, like, I've just emailed coaches and just tried to keep in contact with everyone. And, like, yeah, trying to make friends while I'm over here.
So who do you barrack for?
I go for the Los Angeles Rams in LA. It's one of the old teams I used to watch. My favourite player plays for them, so that's why I go for them. Aaron Donald, he's a like guy that's just built like a tank, yeah.
Why is he your
favourite? I don't know, he's just like, because he's undersized for his position, and he's just, the way he works, like, he's the best player in the league, but he's, everyone doubted him when he started playing college and stuff, and now he's one of the best players in the league right now, just because of his hard work and commitment to football. Yeah, everything, like from calling the plays to like everything. It was like everything on the show, like when we would make plays and stuff, and it would make no sense to the team, like the other team, but it would make perfectly sense to me. Like, we'll scream out someone's name and we'll know exactly what we're doing. From like studying, it's so nerve-wracking getting the playbook and reading it, but after you learn it, it's so satisfying. And it was like, yeah, everything come true, like the ref and everything, like. The painted fields is like so amazing, yeah.
Does every team have a different playbook, or?
Yeah, every team has a different playbook, like different play styles too. Like heaps. So like when I played with one coach, like he was like a heavy pass team. Then I played for this other team, it was like heavy run, like you just run the ball every single time. And then like yeah, so it depends on really your coach and what he likes to play.
So fascinating.
And then because you're in college, does that mean you're going to be doing school there?
Yeah. Student athlete, yes. I'll be studying a bachelor's in sports management.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what also I'll be studying and playing football. And, yeah.
Have you got any family or anyone coming over to watch you?
No family. Just running solo for this first year, so, yeah.
You'll make family want to travel.
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone's like, yeah, I can't travel for your first game. So I'm like, oh, yeah, no, yeah. here's my niece and nephews are like, oh, I'm coming in your suitcase and like, you know, you're going to buy me a ticket when I come over? I'm like, yeah, no.
So when will your first game be? Like once you get over there? So you're leaving Thursday, is that right?
Thursday, and then I think our season starts next month.
Okay.
And I don't think I'll know if I made the team until I get over there, because we just started football camp yesterday. And the coach is like, it's fine. But like, yeah, he's like, hopefully you prove yourself and then... If you do, then you play next month.
Do they have like a reserve squad set up as well? So
you have the varsity team and then you have the reserve team.
So you'll definitely be doing something when you get there.
Yeah, the coach is like, either you'll be on the varsity team or I'll sit you out for a season. Just so I can build you up and you know the playbook, so I'm not just chucking you in the deep water. He's like, one season sitting out, it'll be right. And then like you still don't do everything as an athlete, you just won't play. And I think I'm fine with that. I'm just, you know, just going to trust the process and... Trust all the coaches and stuff.
What are your goals once you like get there? Like, what's the first goal you want to get, and then the next?
I don't know. The first goal is like just to get my number, or my jersey number. So yeah, get my jersey number, and then like just. I want to see what position he chucks me, because he said he just wants to chuck me in one position, but I reckon he's gonna chuck me in a few and just learning to play properly. Because I don't know if we're doing it right here in Australia or not. So hopefully, when I get over there, it's like yeah. No.
Number that you would love to have on your jumper?
74 is my first jersey number.
Yeah.
And it's also the postcode where I live, so like, you know, like it's a bonus. So yeah, like it was my first jersey number, and like my team gave it to me. And I've always honored that. So like they gave me my jersey number away this year, and I was very heartbroken. He even messaged me, my coach is like, one of my good teammates is like, hey Elvis, I'm gonna be giving your jersey number away. And I'm like, I was like, do you have to? And he's like, yeah. And he's like, yeah. And I'm like,
Do you get to like request a number over there?
I don't know, just see if we get over there. Hopefully they do. I have a photo of me in my Victorian 74. Yeah, so my Victorian one, I was 74 too.
Yeah.
I have like, it's Carter on the back, so like I have it in my room and just sitting up there and just.
You have to send a photo to us.
Yeah. So we can put that up. I think I should have a photo.
What's your, I don't know, it's on the list, like, what sort of inspires you? Like, what's your inspiration?
Just being a better person every day, you know, like, you know, besides football, it's made me a better person in general. instead of getting into trouble and everything, you know, playing football saved me and it gave me something to do, not getting into trouble or anything. So, yeah, I found it when I was in year 12, my final year, so I didn't know what I was doing in my life. And, like, I don't know if I was going to just continue to play football, just drop in, just, you know, find a job. But my coach said to stick with it, and, yeah, this finally made me a better person than I was before.
Did you ever imagine that you would be going to college in America?
It's always been, like, you know, dreams are like, yeah, I want to do this and that. And then when I started to make it a reality, I was like, oh, shit, this is actually happening, yeah. Like, and I was like, my coach is like, you're going to go to college. And I'm like, no, I'm not. He's like, trust me, you are. Then, yeah. Then, like, 3 years later, then, like, you're meeting heaps of new people, traveling the States and stuff. And then, yeah, then the coach is like, yeah, you're finally going over, you know, we found a college office for you and everything. And then, yeah.
Incredible.
I guess. How's everyone reacted? Your friends, your family, yeah. Your community. Like, what do they think? Like, is it a big deal? Like,
yeah, like, everyone's like scared. Like, kayak and they're like scared, like they're nervous for me. Like, but they're also excited. You know, doing something. They're saying, because I used to say that, oh, I'm going to college. Like, yeah. They never used to believe me. And then I finally got my college papers and I got my acceptance letter and then I showed everyone and everyone's like, oh shit, you weren't joking. I think that was the reaction. Like, they're super excited for me. It was like, it's always been a passion of mine just to play sports. Now I'm making it a reality and yeah.
What did you think, Kai, when you found out?
It's been, I'm going to stop crying. I already cried today. It's been so overwhelming. It's something he's been doing for so long and he's just been talking about it and he said like he's gonna do it and I was like, okay. And then now he's actually doing it and it's really, really overwhelming because I worked with Elvis for the last year and like even this morning my sister was like, oh, like you can take Elvis to Closing Gap and I'm like, oh yeah. And she's like, oh, you'll have to pick him up from his house. I'm like, what do you mean? He'll be at work. And like, it was his last day last week and I'm like, even that, I'm just like, myself, like, okay, gotta go, goodbye. And then I just started crying because, like, the realization that in a week he's not gonna be here anymore. And Elvis has been such, like, a huge impact on community. Like, he's always there, always the first to show up, always the last to leave. And it's just not gonna be the same without him. So our community just backs him 100%. Like, even when he's going to the airport, I think there's like 20 to 30 people who have said, oh yeah, we're going to take him to the airport, so there's just going to be like a voyage of cars just like driving to the airport just because everyone just wants to be there for him right until the last moment. So
making me want to cry.
Like holding in the tears like the whole time.
It's massive.
It's huge, absolutely massive.
Do you know any other people that have gone overseas to play sport?
Yes, when I played my first Victorian year, like all my mates were like, yeah, I'm going to college, and I like, never believed them. And then we all started training together, and they kept on slowly dripping off, so they all, like, I know 20, 30 people. And then I'm training at this new club, like this new football academy, and like everyone's going there, like every 6 months he's shipping players over, so like, I actually have a few mates over there, like, doing the exact same thing as me, but different positions and stuff. So, like, yeah, I do have, like, a lot of mates that have experience in college. And I've been just asking them every single question, like, you know, how do you do this, how do you do that? Like, I don't know what I'm doing. So, like, yeah, this is going to be so interesting when I get over there.
Are they in the same state as you?
No, I got mates in each state. So, like, yeah. No, I don't think any of them are one's close to me. He's, like, in Texas. Yeah. He's, like, my close mate. We played Vic together, like we wanted to play another season together, but he ended up leaving to America that year. And like we still keep in contact and always messaging each other, seeing how we're doing and stuff. And like, yeah, now he's in Texas playing in the big schools and stuff, so yeah.
Texas ain't too far from Kansas, is it?
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like, I think it's the next state over or something. Yeah, so like I'm pretty close, yeah.
That's sick.
What would you say to any kids thinking, like wanting to play or thinking of playing gridiron?
Mm-hmm.
Just go at it. Just, you know, it's going to be harder to start, but everything's like that. You know, you always take the first step and then you never know where that's going to lead. Like, I was a scared kid that just wanted to play football and now I'm playing college football and, like, playing at the good levels. Like, it's just like, I just took the step and just treated everyone with respect, and then like they finally came back to me, you know, like this one time I was training at Vic, and then like just doing training, and I shook this guy's hand, didn't know who he was, I just introduced myself. Then I ended up finding out that the next day he was the Australian head coach coming to watch us and stuff, you know, like I met so many people, so many interesting people, so many connections and stuff, just from having a normal conversation, you know, besides football and stuff, you know. Just take that first step and then, you know, you won't regret it, I reckon.
So where are you going to end up? Where's the top? What team do you want to play for? What position? What's the dream?
I want to play Division 1 for Alabama. I want to play, like, the left tackle, the left guard. Because, like, Alabama's always been a big top 10 school, you know. They've drafted the most NFL players out of there, you know. I always wanted to play NFL too. So, yeah, just playing for Division 1 and, like, just going out there, just giving it my best.
So is NFL your goal after college?
Yeah, NFL. Yeah, NFL's always been a big dream of mine, you know. Man, if I even sit on the bench, I'll be still happy. Like, I'm just happy I'm going to college. Like, you know, that's just, everything after that is just a bonus, you know.
Crowds.
Like, Division 1, they pull in, like, 100,000 people per game. Like, it's massive. And I'm like, 100,000 people. I'm like, that's the MCG, isn't it? And he's like, yeah. Like, because I met an NFL player. His name's Jesse Williams. And like I say, he played NFL. He played Division 1 Alabama. Like, he's done everything. He's like the crowd over there, man. Like, you can't even hear yourself. Like, it's just mental. He was just telling me stories about NFL and stuff. And he's like, yeah, the people over in America love football. Like, it's next level. And like, yeah, he's just telling me all the experiences. Like, they used to go to his hotel room and beep the horns all night to make sure they didn't get any sleep. And then he'll go the next day and smash them. Like, you know, the team is like, he's just telling me. He's like, when I played NFL, it was such an amazing experience. And he even got to meet Barack Obama, and he's like, he has tattoos all over his head and everything. He's just like, yeah, when I met him, I was so scared. Like, I was sweating, like, I was scared. He's just like.
Who's someone you want to meet while you're over there?
I want to meet Bruno Mars. I don't know why. I love Bruno Mars. Like, I just love him. Like, you know, like, yeah, just meet everybody, man. I just want all football players, music artists. Like, I want to meet everyone, you know. But Bruno Mars will be on top of my list.
Nice. What, you know, when you make it, what are you going to do with all your money?
I'm going to buy, like, yeah. Yeah, so I've got a few family members I have to buy cars for and like everything, so I don't know, probably just buy a nice house. I want heaps of dogs. Like, I love dogs. I don't know why, that's when I saw George, I was happy as. But like, yeah, I always love dogs. I love shoes, that's the only thing. I probably buy my expensive shoes and stuff.
Yeah.
Would you buy a house in America or buy a house here?
Damn.
How many?
Well, yeah,
where
yeah.
Where are you going to buy the houses?
I want to eventually move back to Australia and just, yeah. I don't think I'll be able to live it down that long. Like, now I'm getting spotted by everyone. Like, everyone's like, yeah, like, this is guy's Elvis. I hear all the school kids, like, I don't know who they are. Like, they just walk past. Oh, that's Elvis. Like, that's the football player. And I'm like, oh, I don't know who the kids were. They're like, yeah. So, yeah, probably buy a house. I'll probably want to live in Texas. That's the state I want to go to. So, yeah.
Kaya, is there any other reflections about Elvis that you
want to
share?
I don't know, it's gonna be, like I said, really different. Even like him saying that he's eventually gonna like potentially like live in America, like that is honestly so heartbreaking for me. I know it's like that's his dream and he's going to be like living his best life and stuff, but it's really not gonna be the same without him. Like, he's family here is massive, and I know like we'll be able to go over and visit, or like he can still come back, but it's just I can't imagine a life where Elvis isn't in Dufton. Like his whole life is in Dufton, everything's in Dufton, his family, his school, like everything. And it's just I want nothing but the best for Elvis, but I also want him like here. So, like it's he always picks on me every day, and we're talking on the car ride here at work. The cereal's on the top shelf, and sometimes it gets pushed too far back. And I'm like, who's gonna like reach my cereal now? Like, I'm just like, gonna have to go hungry or like ask someone else. Like, even just like little things like that, it's just really not gonna be the same.
Tell us about your family. Like, who's in Dubbleton? Like, what is your family look like in Dubbleton?
So I have my mum, and I have like around. I have 14 nieces and nephews, but I think six or seven live with us. Seven. So yeah, like six or seven nieces I live with my mum, and then I have older brothers and sisters, but they don't live with us or anything. So yeah, like some of my, like I have heaps of family in Dandenong and stuff. You know, that's where I was growing up, and like I have like a massive family there. So, yeah.
How are you gonna go living in a college room versus living with six nieces and nephews?
Peace and quiet. What are we happy about that? No. Like, yeah, it's going to be weird, like, because my nephews always wake me up, like, they're about 2 and 4, like, he always wakes me up, you know, since he always bosses me around and stuff. Then I got my nieces that boss me around, like, they're my boss. My mom doesn't even boss me around. But my little nieces, they're, like, 10 years old, they always boss me around, tell me to get to work, and, like, where are you going? And I'm like they always have to get interrogated by the time I leave the house. And I'm like, bro, who's older than me or you? And I'm, yeah. Like, I was sick for a week, and, like, make sure you stay in bed, don't go out, don't do this and that, and I'm like, bro.
And are you
going to
be living in, like, college dorms?
Yeah, in the college, college dorms, like, it's, I think I have, like, a bunk bed. It's going to be, like, really small, but I don't really mind it, like, you know, as long as I'm over there playing my sport, you know, I don't really care where I'm staying.
And will you share a room?
So? Yeah, I've got a bunk, roommate, so yeah, like he messaged me and stuff. He's pretty cool. He's like an African American, like, yeah, he's pretty cool.
And is he playing judo?
He's playing football with us, yeah.
Yeah, cool.
And like, yeah, he looks like a pretty cool guy. They're like, yeah.
Is he from?
Okay. He's from Virginia. Because he's like, I'm from VA, and I'm like, I don't know where VA is. And he's like, oh, that's Virginia. He's like, I forgot you're international. And like, yeah. Like, I met a lot of American people, they think we run kangaroos and stuff, and like all that funny stuff. So I'm excited to get over there to spend so much, like, lives about Australia.
You're
going to
be able to, like, teach them so much, and then they're going to be able to teach you so much.
Yeah, that's what I think I'm excited about. Like, I always like learning, like, I don't care what it's about, like, just like learning stuff. So, like, especially moving over to a new country and learning their stuff and, like, me teaching, like, our ways and stuff, you know, it's going to be, like, a good experience for everyone.
I'm just imagining you meeting Bruno Mars.
Who was
that? Manifested everything else.
Yeah.
Make sure he sees it.
I'm trying to think, there was one other person, I can't remember who it was.
Put it out there.
Can't remember, I was like, if I ever see him, I'll start crying and stuff, and I'm like, I remember when I met Jesse Williams, and I was like, like, it was crazy. Like, I can't wait to meet my idols and stuff. It's going to be, because I'm going to be so close to them, you know? Like,
it's pretty amazing that everything that you've manifested everything. You've said you want to do this and you've worked hard, and now all the things you said you wanted to do, you're doing.
Yeah, like, I have a book at home. Like, I read everything that I wanted to do, like, 3 or 4 years ago. Like, when I started playing football, I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to do it, but I'm going to try it. Like, one of them was to get invited to Vic Trials, and then, like, I got invited. And I was like, oh, if I could make the Vic team, that's a bonus. Coach is like, you're dreaming if you weren't going to make the Vic team. And, like, one of them was get invited to go to college and, like, all that. Like, you know, the small little steps, I wrote it down and made sure, like, you know, it kept me insane, you know. Waking up at 4 a.m. every day and training and then going to work, like, you know, that's, like, that was, like, every single day. Everyone's like, why are you so early at work? And I'm like, I'll just finish training. And, like, Saturday mornings we do 4 a.m. trainings again, and, like, Sundays, like, you don't have any rest days. So Sunday I'll train, so, like, you know, like, there's small little things that keep me sane. Like,
so what's a typical, like, before you went away, what did a typical day look like for you?
So Mondays and Wednesdays, it was 5 o'clock trainings at the gym, and then go to work, and then usually I finish work around 7. Tuesdays and Thursdays were team trainings, and then I had boxing in the morning. And then Saturdays were conditioning, strength conditioning. And then, so Sundays is like, all right, I'll let you have a rest day. But then the boys will message me saying we're doing field work, so we're having to do field work. So, like, really, yeah, I really had no rest days in between everything. Everything was just going from there to there to there. I'm like, yeah, this whole 6 months just flew.
And what's
And what do you do to, like, switch off and you know, rest and recover? Like, what's your go-to thing?
I don't know what rest is, but just recovery. Like, I just like to go for swims at the beach and, like, go to the pools and, like, I just like playing pool and just hanging around my family. So when I hang around my family, you know, that's when I switch off. I just like to relax. I like playing games that you can play with other people. You know, we're very competitive. Like, we play card games. It's like World War III. Like, you know, we were very competitive. Like, just playing card games and just relaxing. Just watching the local footy too. You know, like, I go to watch my nephews and nieces play. And, like, yeah, that's my switch off time. You know, Saturday I wake up at 4. To get to my nephew's game at like 12, and then I'm ready to go to bed. By the time I get to his game, but yeah, you kind of get used to waking up early, but then you don't. It's just so cold. Like, when it's 0 degree days, and I'm like, coach is like, go for a run outside. I'm like, do I have to? But yeah, like, that was my usual day. Like, you know, working Saturdays and Sundays, I try to work, but I had no time. Like, yeah, so anything to make a little bit extra money, you know, I did. And I'm like, yeah.
Nice. So, how can people support you, Elvis?
Yeah, so obviously, my GoFundMe, like, you know, you, like, donate, but you don't have to, but, like, just sharing, I reckon, like, that's what I've got a lot of exposure and stuff, you know, from just speaking to people sharing my posts, you know. Josh Adekai messaged me, you know, like, so he followed me, like, so he posted me on my story, that I reposted it. I'm like, this guy's not going to respond. And then I reposted it, and he messages me, and I'm like, I was at work, and I'm like, is this really Josh Adekai? And all the boys around me are like, Latrell and Josh shared your post, and I'm like, no way. Like, I started crying, I was so happy. So I always looked up to him, and like, he's like, yeah, dude, Josh Adekai messaged me saying, like, you know, congratulations on what you're doing and stuff, just keep hard working and stuff, and I was so happy. I was like, I don't even want to work anymore, like, what's the point of playing football? And I just said, I was so excited when I wanted to leave work that day. I was like, my head's all in the clouds and everything, yeah.
That's amazing.
So how much more, so you put a goal on your GoFundMe, how much more money do you have to raise to reach your goal?
I think it's like 50,000, but like, I've got like an extra, like, I've got a little bit of money, but like, yeah, like, the 50,000 is the goal, because that covers my 4 years of college tuition and housing and accommodation and food. And health insurance, so that's like the 60,000, like, to cover everything while I'm at college for the 4 years.
Mm-hmm. So we need to raise 50 more thousand.
Yeah.
Yep.
And like, that's like, yeah. Yeah.
That's so good.
You're such an inspiration to so many people, your family, and and everyone else. I think when they get to hear your story and what you've done and. Yeah, just simple things about writing things in a book about what you want to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
Just for so many kids, that's so important.
Mm. Yeah, like a little kid, you know, you always have dreams. And like, you know, like, sometimes you lose the picture of having that dream, but, you know, mine always stayed with me. And, you know, like, just keep doing everything every day. He's like, one coach told me, he's like, if you just make yourself 1% better every single day, then in 100 days, you'll be a new person. You know, like, that really stuck with me, you know. I don't care if I trained that day, like, as long as I did something to make me better every single day. That's the thing I do every day, like, whether that's waking up and, like, making my bed and then, like, just sitting there and just seeing what I want to do that day. Like, you know, that's, like, simple little things. I always count the small steps. Like, the big step was college, but everything else in between it was worth it, I reckon.
Is there anything that, like, you
want to
know from us or what we can do, or?
No, I'm just honored to be here, you know, just, when you followed me yesterday, I was like, oh my gosh, and Laura messaged me, and I was like, wow, like, when I saw you at the march, I was like, who are these people? And then they told me who you were, because, like, yeah, like, everyone shops here, you know, like, you know, so it's a pretty cool experience for me to come here and stuff, you know, see the business, and just see what,
A couple of people reached out to me and said, you need to share Elvis on your story, which we did. And then I dug a little bit deeper and people were like, you need to do more. I'm like, cool. And I was like, yeah. I started to see how incredible your story was. And yeah, just a little thing, having like access to Greg and a platform of people that I think will really get around you and show you the love that you deserve. Because small things.
Thanks for travelling all the way from Dandenong.
Oh my god!
That's fun. I'm used to coming down these ways anyway because I used to train in Maribyrnong for like 3 times a week. Hating going there, such bad traffic.
Maribyrnong traffic is like Mount Alexander Road.
Oh, yeah, no. I used to train at the school there. I don't know where it is, like this, the shopping centre?
Yeah, High Point.
Yeah, High Point, yeah.
So you got random 2 Instagram pages. Which one do you want people to follow?
So the Carter Chronicles is like my football one.
Yes.
So that's why I want to post all my stuff, hopefully posting my football stuff and, you know, like Elvis Carter 22s is like my normal one, but my Carter Chronicles is just strictly football, so if you want to go follow it, yeah.
Yeah.
And like, you send me a message, like, you know, I always just want to message stuff.
You won't be when you...
Yeah, no. Yeah, like, everyone just messages me and I'm like, oh, yeah, no, yeah.
Is that a car again?
Yeah, no.
Thanks for listening to our conversation with Elvis. To support, you can head over to his Instagram page at Carter Chronicles Oz to US, or if you want to support financially, you can head to his GoFundMe page.